The Church kicking off this edition of the Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M network. Look at the weather details for today. Morning Perth, sunny and 32 today. Adelaide, partly cloudy, 23. Melbourne can expect 23 today, but a mostly sunny day. An afternoon shower or two in Hobart, 20. Albury, Wodonga, 28. And a partly cloudy day. Canberra, showers and 26. Wollongong, showers and 26. Sydney, a shower or two, 28. Newcastle, showers and storms today, and 28 the expected top. In fact, showers increasing over the next few days, Newcastle, and possibly a wet weekend. Brisbane, showers, 29. Townsville, a mostly sunny day and 32. 32 and showers in Cairns. Showers and storms all weekend for Darwin, 30 degrees, and Alice Springs, sunny and 33 degrees. So, what is on your mind? Let's talk. Have you got something you think the rest of the nation needs to hear? Maybe you've got a question. Maybe you just know something that we don't know. We love that. And our caller of the week wins a Triple M T-shirt. We'll draw that just before sunrise tomorrow. The quickie coming up later today. We're into day four. The theme continues. It's an iconic Australian rock band. It's one of their very, very early hits. That's all you've got at this point. If you want to listen to the quickie, it's a separate clip on our podcast. But in the meantime, let's talk. Let's get to know each other. To Phillip Island first up. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Luke. And how are you this fine morning?
Mate, I've never seen it brighter. Are you okay?
I'm very good, thank you. Yeah, I'm very good. I'm just on the beach walking my dog. But I was listening and I thought I'd give you a call because I've got a very good story for you.
All right, I'm all ears. I'm sitting back, I'm listening.
Okay, so this is a bad breakup story, and just keep in mind, please, we're going back about 25 years.
Doesn't matter how long. Is it better than Nick Kyrgios's?
Oh, it's way better.
Okay.
It's way better. So this was basically my first love, and we were together for about 3 years. She was a little bit older, had a couple of kids, so I did a bit of looking after them over the 3 years. Anyway,
hang on, how old? She was a bit older and had three kids.
Yes.
How old were you?
When we first got together, I was 18.
Okay, so you were young. You were a baby.
Yes.
And you said she was your first love. Okay, off you go.
Yes. So, together 3 years. And then all of a sudden I get taken, invited to a bistro somewhere in Melbourne with her and get told that she was leaving me for a woman.
Oh, dear.
So I'm...
And she chose the public restaurant approach.
Yes. So it was, I wouldn't,
overreact.
Get all upset and overreact and make a scene and this and that. Yeah. So I've stewed on this and I actually knew the person who she was leaving me for.
Dear idea. Yeah.
And I'll tell you this part now because it adds to the end of the story. This person also had a male boyfriend. Well, a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So they both wanted to, that for both teams, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I used to drink quite heavily, as you know. I am now past 2 years sober, so I'm happy about that. That alone. Yep. Anyway, one night, probably two, 3 nights later, after I got told I'd had a pretty heavy drinking session.
Yeah.
Decided to stupidly get in the car and drive. I know how stupid I was, and that's gone a long way towards me, giving up the alcohol.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've gone over to my ex's house. It's probably about midnight, and I've found...
How many nights after the breakup was this?
Oh, it was two or three. I can't remember exactly, but it was pretty close.
Yeah.
So, the emotions were still running wild. And, as I said, I had a gutful, and... decided to grab my keys and go to every panel on her new girlfriend's car.
Oh, silly boy.
And wrote some quite obscene words and a very big one on the bonnet. And, got away, didn't get hurt or anything like that. Thought I got away with it, but quite obviously it was me with what I'd written on the car.
Well done, Scoop, yes.
And the girlfriend's boyfriend knew me as well. And anyway, I had to get a solicitor and pay for a brand new paint job on her car.
Mm. In the meantime, after the hurt and after all that, are you okay now?
Yeah, well, the funny twist of the story, and this is thanks to social media, I actually chat with my ex via social media.
So you're friends with her again?
Yeah. Well, I won't say friends. I haven't, we don't catch up or anything. But we chat a little bit on social media.
Do you know, it's another topic, but we can weave it into this topic. My very, very first serious girlfriend was a relationship I had in school. And God, did I love this girl. I was smitten. I was head over heels. I was going to marry her.
Yeah.
Year 11.
As we do.
And I left school and entered the workforce, and she stayed on at school and went on and did year 12, and we grew apart. Anyway, she dumped me because she'd heard via another bloke who was in our year at school that I'd cheated on her. And this bloke was keen on her as well. He lied.
Yeah, that makes, that fits in.
Right,
yeah.
He lied. I know his name. I've got his name. I've got his face in my mind.
In your head. Yeah.
And he just told her a lie. She chose to believe it. I mean, she confronted me. I said, that's ridiculous, because I was besotted. I didn't look sideways with this girl. And this bloke had the hots for her, and he lied. I would say that for her, the relationship was waning anyway. I'd left school, and I was in the workforce, and she was doing her HSC and looking to go to university. But I thought about this girl for years and years. Anyway, years later, we caught up, and we went out on a date. It was actually on a floating restaurant on Sydney Harbour. It was a floating, it was one of those floating cruising Chinese restaurants. And we had our photos taken together by the professional photographer, and I bought her a rose. And we sort of rekindled kinda. And after getting to know her a few years later, I realised that she wasn't really the one for me. I'd been hanging on to the wrong memories.
Yes.
But I just wanted to ask my listeners this. Did you ever break up with someone, and maybe it was a terrible breakup, because, God, I was upset when she dumped me, really, and it was for the wrong reasons. But did you ever catch up with an ex-flame, and did you get it out of your system? Did the relationship re-fire, and did you get back together, or was meeting up with the person that you'd been missing all those years, was it the best thing, meeting them and getting it out of your system?
Can I just, I've got something to do, because we did actually meet face-to-face. You've just reminded me, back a few years ago, probably 3-4 years ago, we caught up face-to-face, and I actually, after spending an hour or so with her, just, over a drink, mind you, mine was I was drinking back then, so I was having a drink. I realised that, I'm in a much better place, and I'm glad that certain things that happened throughout the time we were together, I'll go there and may as well. There was an abortion in the relationship, and I'm so against it, but I'm in a better place because of it.
Gee, you really went through the emotional ringer with that first girlfriend, didn't you? Anyway, you're friends with her now, so isn't that interesting? 133353. Yes, the Nick Kyrgios thing. It just made me think about terrible breakups. I mean, all this was done on Instagram and everybody's talking about it. Why can't people just go and quietly break up? Everyone has to have the last word. And because of social media and because of massive egos involved with this couple, everybody wanted to have the last word. There's no dignity left anymore since social media. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely.
No dignity left anymore at all. Let's break up, but let's let the world share it, and let's show the world that we're the better person. Why can't you just break up with someone, say it was nice, but it's not working out. I wish you all the very, very best, and it's done. Since social media, it goes on and on and on, because people have to show the world that they're the one in charge of the breakup and that they're the people marching towards a better place. Jesus, social media. It's got a lot to answer for, hasn't it? Matt, always good to talk to you, mate. I'll let you continue walk. How's the dog?
Yeah, she's awesome. She's amazing. She, we're so close, it's not funny. I actually got her name tattooed on my body, so how much she means to me.
Oh, Matt, dogs only last about, how old is she?
Yeah, I know. She's 3. She'll probably last till 12.
Let's hope she goes
husky. But I've got the memories I've got from her, and basically saving my life, I'll have that
Fair enough. I know that the dogs played a very important part in your life. As for tattooing a dog's name on you, well, that's another thing. To each his own. Matt, it's always good to catch up with you, mate. You take care of yourself.
Likewise, we'll do. Nice to talk, Luke.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. 1-3-3-5. He could have the face of the dog tattooed on him, couldn't he? Breaking up is hard to do. Who said that? Neil Sedaka, I think it was. 1-3-3-5-3 is the number. My name's Luke Boner. Miss Jess is running the show. She's the voice at the end of the phone when you ring through. Let's talk. This is the Night Shift on Triple M. Here he is. The I was going to call you the Bandit Road Warrior.
No. How's your bum for fluff, Boner?
Yeah, it's good. I had a very good mate. That was his favourite saying. He'd say, "How's your bum for grubs?"
Yeah, how's your bum for grubs, or how's your bum for worms?
Yeah, how's your bum for grubs?
Good old Aussie saying.
Now, just before you go, Warren, stay there, because Miss Jess is flat out. But I've got it. You're talking about breakup stories, Nick Kyrgios. Miss Jess, stop laughing. Hello.
Oh, come on. I think you and I are pretty even on this front.
No, but we've all talked about how you dumped a bloke on your very first date because he hadn't read Harry Potter. We've been there. We've done that. But tell the folks about the bloke that broke up with you as he's reversing out of the car space. This is very funny.
Oh, he did. Yes, we were going, oh, God, you've got a good memory. I had suppressed this one, but nope, you've dug it up. We've been dating for a few months. Went out to brunch. As we're pulling in to the cafe, he pretty much, as he's looking over his shoulder, pulling into the car spot on this beautiful day, tells me, yeah, I'm just not really into it anymore. As he's reverse parking for us to go to brunch, I mean, how do you sit through a breakfast? You know, what are you going to order? Like orange juice with a side of rejection? No. I could not continue with this date. I was like, you better reverse out of your reverse because you are taking me home. Like, what?
He broke up with you before the date. I mean, you'd wait until you'd had a lovely brunch and a chat and do it at the very end. Why would you break up with someone and then expect them to sit through a meal with you?
I mean, park the car at least. Turn the engine off.
But your friends were saying he was reversing the car and reversing out of the relationship at the same time.
Simultaneous. I mean, a man of many talents.
Is that your worst ever breakup?
I think that was pretty bad. I mean, the car ride home.
What did you
without
say?
Without the breakfast. Oh, well, not much. I mean, first of all, I was hungry. I can't think straight on an empty stomach. No. I mean, I didn't get my breakfast. I was hangry. I was angry. I was starving, deprived of my meal, broken up, single. It was just, it was a wreck. It was the longest car ride of my life back home.
Now,
awful.
Was that before social media?
No, around the same time. It was probably 5 years ago. Social media wasn't as big, but it was happening.
Oh, it was only 5 years ago. So it was just before you and I started working together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why you told me, because it was still fresh. The wound was still open.
Oh,
that's why you told me. Yeah, it was a big scab. Anyway, think about it, Jess. I reckon you could come up with you've had a few breakups. I reckon there's worse. Have a think about it.
That one hurts. That one's pretty bad. What about you? Do you have one that stands out, or are they all just as bad?
Well, I just told everybody. You were busy taking calls. My first ever serious relationship, she dumped me because some bloke who was also keen on her said I was cheating, and I wasn't.
Hold on. So your two divorces don't count as one of the worst?
No, they were a breeze.
Wow. So we're just not going to talk about the two divorces, are we? We're just scrapping those.
Jess, you're breaking up.
Uh-huh. Goodbye.
Goodbye. 1-3-3-5-3 is the telephone number. Sorry, Warren.
You're right, mate. You're right.
Oh, God.
Now, listen, I rang you up about the phone thing, but I just want to touch on something that Jane said last night. You know the lady truck driver that rang you?
I had a few, yes. I remember Jane, yeah.
Yeah, you had Jane, and you had Rod ring you talking about facilities when you go to a client's facility. Right. Now, the reason I know this, because I got sacked because of it.
What happened?
Well, basically, any company that has employees, contractors, visitors visit their site, they have to provide amenities like a toilet and clean drinking water for people. Now, the reason I know this is I used to work for a tanker company down in Sydney. And I was based at the Caltex terminal there at Banks Meadow. And anyway, the Caltex people had the lunchroom all chained up at one stage, and we wasn't allowed to use the lunchroom. And I said to one of the supervisors there, I said, I need to get in and get some clean water. And he told me, he said, the toilets are there, there's water in the toilets, use that. I said, I beg your pardon? And he said, use the water in the toilets. I said, that's not clean drinking water as far as I'm concerned. Anyway.
He was talking about the wash basin.
Yeah. He told me to use the toilets to get clean drinking water. Right? And I said, no, that's not hygienic, it's not clean. Anyway, I give him a bit of a mouthful, told him what I'd actually thought.
Oh, gee, I can't imagine that.
Yeah, I told him what to do himself and how to do it, and you can well imagine. So basically, the company I was working for couldn't send me back in there because I got banned from the joint.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you go on the industrial relations site, it's part of mandatory rules. Now, Rod was saying that some of the sites that truckers go on to where they're not allowed to use the toilet. Yes, they are. It's a legal, it's a mandatory legal thing.
Requirement.
A requirement, yeah. It's a mandatory requirement for OH&S, right? Now, you, when you went to your 7-Eleven, you wanted to drop the kids off at the pool or whatever you wanted to do, right? Now, I used to do a lot of fuel deliveries to Coles Express sites.
Yeah.
Which most Shell service stations are Coles Express sites now.
Yeah.
Only a few. Now, they don't provide toilets to the public. And 7-Eleven are the same. All right? Now, as an employee, as a tanker driver delivering to that site, I asked, I'm pretty sure it was the one there on O'Brien's Road at Northmead, I asked to use the toilet there, and the console operator said to me no. And I said, mate, I need to use the toilet. I am classed as an employee, and he argued black and blue. So I basically went out and had a leak beside the truck, and then I reported it to my boss next morning, and Shell rang him up and got into him because I was classed as an employee, and they still wouldn't let me use the bathroom.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it, Jane was right. It is mandatory for her to be able to use a toilet in most service stations. And, you know, especially if you're classed as an employee. But when you go onto a work site, say a distribution centre or something like that, they have to provide, it is law, they have to provide facilities for people. And especially clean drinking water. Because just for argument's sake, you check your radiator and you get a face full of coolant, you need to be able to wash your face and stuff like that.
Mm. Well, this 7-Eleven that refused me, the guy didn't even look at me in the face, and he had broken English. He said, for staff only. I didn't have to go through the office to use it because years ago, before it was a 7-Eleven, I've used that bathroom because it's just down the hill from me. It's the servo's been there longer than you and I have been alive. And it's outside. You go in from the outside around the right-hand side, just past the ice machine. So I didn't have to go through an office. Their policy was the public can't use it.
Well.
And I have been a bloody good customer of that particular servo. I won't go there anymore, though.
Well, I think if someone really looked into it, all these service stations, especially with a facility like that, like an outside facility, they would be breaking the law because you're a visitor to their site.
Well, anyway, I've learnt my lesson and I won't go there anymore. But you wanted to talk about kids using phones.
Okay. I sent you the email last night of the little Space Talk phone.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this is Dick Tracy stuff, but it exists. I got two school-aged children, right? Now, they've both got what they call a Space Talk watch phone. What it is it's a watch, but it's also a telephone, right? And
yeah, I've seen them. Yeah,
yeah, and I've got a app on my phone. The wife's got an app on their phone, and there's my number in there, my wife's number, and the grandmother's number, and there's two other numbers which we have to authorize within the app, which they can ring. So if I need to contact them at school, I can actually send them a text message, and it won't go beep, beep. it'll just vibrate on their arm. So they know there's a text message there, right, from me or their mother or the grandmother, right? And if, in case of emergency, say that someone's following them and they're worried and they don't want to use their phone, there's a little button on there and they press it and it instantly sends a message to my phone, their mother's phone, the grandmother's phone, and the other two numbers in there, which are close friends, which are trusted friends. It sends a message, says, the child is in trouble, please contact the child. And, mate, they're normal watches as well.
Yeah, I've got your email here, $350 yeah. bucks.
Yeah, and honestly, that lady, I forget her name, she rang in and said that someone put on Facebook that their child was kidnapped.
Yeah, like yeah.
Well, then it's a very easy alternative to the common old mobile phone, which you really don't want a 9 and 12-year-old having, really. But, you know, like, it's a good alternative, and it's a safe alternative if they need to contact. Like,
yeah, not everyone's got $350 bucks, though.
Oh, well, how much is the mobile phone?
Well, that's true. If you've got enough money for a phone, you've got enough money for this watch. Yeah, I'm looking at it now. The problem was these schools, well, the parents of these kids, it was on the Gold Coast where the initial complaints came through. The kids were using their phones to make derogatory TikTok videos of their teachers, but also they were downloading and looking at pornography. You can't do that on the watch, can you?
No, you can't do anything like that. You can't even get on the internet. But what I'm saying is if you need to contact your child and you don't want them having access to the internet and pornography and stuff like that, it's an easy alternative. It comes in different colours and everything. It doesn't look out of place. You know, my two kids were in the school, the 9-year-old. Like I sent her a message the other morning because it was her first day at some camp she was going to. I just sent her a text message early morning saying, have a great time, baby, and enjoy yourself. And things like that. It's just a nice, simple thing.
Yeah, $349 at Harvey Norman. I've got it here. All right, it's an alternative. It's an idea. Warren, I've got to keep moving, mate. Always good to hear from you. You drive carefully.
Yeah, mate, it's very wild out here tonight. The weather's horrendous.
Well, give us a report. Where are you and what's the weather doing?
I'm currently just coming into Coffs Harbour and it's been hosing down all night and it's really heavy and torrential and heavy wind behind it blowing across the road.
So okay.
If you're out there, be careful because it ain't much to see.
Very, very careful. Good on you, Warren. Thank you for that. 133353 is the telephone number. This is the Night Shift on Triple M. Lots to talk about. If you'd like to add to it, please feel free to do so. You can email us, nightshift@triplem.com.au. You can follow us on Facebook. I'd be very keen to hear from anyone who has been long-term unemployed. How do you feel about the welfare payments being increased by $50 a fortnight in April? From what I read and from what I hear, it hasn't been welcomed very well at all. Some people would say better than nothing. Some people are saying, well, it allows you to get an extra cup of coffee a day. It works out to about $3.45 a day. But I want to know how you feel about employers using this new hotline to dob in job seekers who turn down offers of work. The critics have dubbed it Dob Seeker, and they say that it's wide open for abuse. The government, just to bring it up to speed, the government's going to establish the employer reporting hotline as part of its stronger mutual obligations on recipients of Job Seeker and Youth Allowance. The Employment Minister, Michaela Cash, said her department would follow up on people dobbed in to this hotline to see if they had a valid reason for turning down work. She said, you often hear employers saying, Joe applied for a job, he was qualified for the job, and then he said no. In the event that they do not have a valid reason, they will be breached for that, she said. Now, how many employers are going to use this Dob Seeker hotline, as it's being called? Are we a nation of dobbers? Do we owe it to the country and to the taxpayers who are paying for Job Seeker Do we owe it to them to dob people in who are cheating the system? Our employment expert, who we've spoken to twice this week, Graham Wynn, as a recruitment officer, he said it's very, very frustrating when he says he gets a lot of folk in who have to apply for jobs in order to keep the dole, and he knows that they are not interested in those jobs. They qualified, they could get the job if they applied themselves and had a crack, but they come in often smelling of alcohol. Sometimes they don't turn up. Sometimes they're an hour and a half late. Their demeanour sucks. They clearly are not interested in getting work. This is what Graham Wynn's told us. And he reports it to Centrelink and they do nothing about it. And the main reason is they say, well, we don't have the resources. We don't have the people on the ground. We can't, we just cannot follow up on every complaint. So what's changed? Michaela Cash, are you going to employ more people associated with Centrelink to follow up on these bogus job seekers? 133353. It's called, they've dubbed it Dob Seeker. I wonder if it's going to work. There's a bloke called Charles Cameron, who is the chief executive of the Recruitment Consulting and Staffing Association, which represents the labour hire sector that takes on many of these job seekers. And he said most businesses were unlikely to use the hotline. He said employers and businesses, they don't want to pass judgment without a proper analysis of why they weren't willing to work. They'd rather focus on people who are willing to work and provide them with that opportunity. But Graham Wynn said he often has his time wasted because people come to him because they have to appear to be looking for employment, and he knows the moment they walk into his office, they're not interested. And he's reported it because he believes they're ripping off the taxpayers. But absolutely nothing has been done in many, many years. What do you make of this? This new hotline, an employer hotline, where employers could report people who they believe are cheating their welfare payments. Interesting. 133353 is the telephone number. Mick's online from Melbourne. G'day, Mick.
Yeah, g'day, Luke. How you going, mate?
Very well. Good morning. Welcome. What's up?
Yeah, thank you. A couple of things. Nick Kyrgios, really, I don't really care about him. He's probably going to cop his own right whack anyway. Got no interest in tennis and him to start with.
We started to like Nick Kyrgios when he had a go at Novak Djokovic, and he seemed to take the moral high ground, and we thought maybe Nick Kyrgios has grown up. Then we still saw tantrums on the tennis court, and now this very public breakup with this girlfriend that we had to endure during his COVID quarantine. Remember that?
Yeah.
You know, Nick, and anyone else of Nick's era and age group and mentality, when you break up with someone, how about a little class? How about a little maturity? If you break up with someone, make it between you and them and go your separate ways. You see, the trouble is, Mick, when you've got massive egos, everybody wants to show online that they had the upper hand and that they had the last word. Correct?
Mate, I think he likes all the media part of it anyway. I think he gets off on it. But anyway, that's not what I rang up about. I tried to ring up last night and dropped out on the way home.
Oh.
I was ringing up about the lady that you're talking to, that she's got the bad backs, like she's done window cleaning and all that sort of stuff, and she's gone to see a GP. You turned around and said, it's no good seeing a GP. You've got to go and see a specialist and stuff like that.
Well, the GP said it doesn't need surgery. Well, that's not up to the GP. Ultimately, if she believes it's worse than what the GP's saying, I said, go and find get the GP to refer you.
That's 100% correct. Yep, I've been through all that. The other thing is like, she said that she's out there and she's desperate to get a job and stuff like that. Who's actually going to put her on, knowing that her back, her hands and her legs and feet are all like that? There's no way in the world a company is going to put her on. She's just going to be a liability.
But does she have to disclose that?
Oh, yeah, well, companies now, actually, most companies now that employ people make you do a fitness test now to cover themselves. So
even if it's administration and office work? That's what she was after.
Oh, mate, if she can't get up ladders, how's she going to sit down?
I don't know. I'm not her doctor.
That's what I'm saying.
But she said that she said that she really wants to work. She doesn't want to sit in bed all day. She wants to get up and be productive. That's you heard her.
Yeah, I did. But getting onto the part of that about the extra $50 a fortnight from the job seeker and stuff like that, I've changed jobs. I won't say where I used to work and where I'm working now. But my wife was actually working at the same company.
Yes.
And she was a receptionist. And she got made redundant through the job seeker part of it. And so she's been on job seeker. And during this time, I think to start with, she was probably getting $600 a fortnight, I think it was, roughly about that time. And next thing, it started dropping down. But when I first started this job, I started on the 11th of January.
Yeah.
After Christmas. And I've been doing night shift for the last month. And because of my wage, she puts in her report for job seeker and she does not get a cent now.
Right.
Not an absolute cent, because they turned around and said that my gross wage before tax is too much for her to get job seeker.
Is that right?
Yep. So it's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And, you know, the unemployed are out there, and don't get me wrong, you know, the people that live on the streets, and she's got to go for 8 jobs a fortnight online, apply for 8 jobs.
Yes.
And she's been applying for them and she's nearly 60. Now, you're talking about people in between 40, 45 to 60.
Yes.
It's very hard for them to get jobs now. It wasn't their fault that they got made redundant to start with. And I realise the country is getting back on track, but people out there won't employ people at that age, because I think that the companies think that they're a liability now. They're too old and it's just very hard for people like my wife herself to try to get a job. She wants to get a job. She's brought up 4 magnificent boys and stuff like that. They're all growing up. She doesn't want to be at home. And we've gone through a few hard times and wage-wise and stuff like that. We put our home loan on hold and stuff like that. Between the two of us, we were actually doing all right. But now, we're way behind the 8 ball, just like, you know, half the country is. There's no sympathy in there, but it's just not right. It's the way this government's handling things. I think it's disgraceful.
So what is the trick? If you are able, I do feel sorry for Michelle, who rang up the other night, and because she's got health issues. But if you are able-bodied and you've been made redundant through no fault of your own, and you try to find work between the age of 40 and 60, there's a 20-year gap we're talking about here. It is really, really hard. What is the trick? Surely some businesses would see somebody with that amount of experience on their clock would be an asset, wouldn't they? Or that, now, for example, I've got a mate who has a business and he prefers to hire younger people that he can train. This is Simon with his painting business, right? And Simon has often found it very, very hard to find the right staff, but he would always prefer to go for someone young that he can train, because in the past when he's employed experienced painters, he said they're incredibly hard to manage because Simon does things his way. He's very, very fussy, and that's why he's in such high demand. And he said somebody with lots of experience may know well how to cut in and hold a paintbrush and do all that, but he's constantly arguing with them and fighting with them because he wants them to do it his way. He'd rather train someone. Is that the problem, Mick?
Well, there was meant to be, after this COVID, on the fourth phase that we sort of got over, there was a government initiative that they were going to try to get things going for people to lost their jobs, and especially older people. And that just hasn't happened. Like, she's been going to employment agencies and stuff like that, and she's getting very frustrated because she's spending most of her time on the computer looking for jobs and applying for them. And, but half the jobs that they give her are, like, for butchers and stuff. Like, she doesn't want to become a butcher. You know what I mean? She wants a job, but she's not a butcher or a painter or a mechanic or stuff like that. And they're the jobs that they're putting out to her. And it's like that they're trying to keep themselves in a job by looking good and giving them rubbish. You know what I mean? But
yeah. Well, hey, tell me just quickly before we go, Mick. How, what do you think about this employer Dobbin line, Dobkeeper, that where employers are encouraged to contact Centrelink, or it's a special hotline that they ring if they believe they've got someone there for an interview, they're qualified for the job, but they don't take it.
I think it's good, personally.
Do you?
I think the more people get lagged in about, you know, lying about, you know, whatever. You know, dull budgets and everything else, I think the more people that get lagged in, the better. I think it's better off for the country.
All right, I'll put you down. You think it's a plus. All right, let's see if it makes a difference. Let's see if they've actually got personnel that can follow it up, because that was Graham Wynne's frustration. He would contact Centrelink and say, that person you sent me last Thursday turned up was intoxicated, had alcohol in his breath, was dressed like a hobo, and clearly didn't want the job, just came here for the interview so he could tick it off to say he was looking for a job. And Centrelink did nothing about it.
Yeah, that's right.
They said that we haven't got the resources to follow it up. Let's see if things have changed. 133353. Have we become a nation of dobbers? During the COVID lockdown, when people were breaking rules, neighbours were dobbing in other neighbours if they felt they were having too many people over, or if they felt that somebody was doing something wrong. There's been an unbelievable increase in Australians dobbing in other Australians. Is it because we're sick and tired and fed up of people breaking the rules? When we have to follow them and someone else doesn't, is it our place to dob somebody in? It used to be considered un-Australian to be a dobber. Is it un-Australian not to be a dobber now? There's the question. Hey, Mick, good to talk to you. He's gone. 133353. Is it un-Australian to be a dobber, or is it un-Australian not to be a dobber? This is the Night Shift on Triple M. With Luke Boner and Miss Jess, she's the heartbroken one. No, she's not heartbroken anymore. She, after the bloke reversed out of his car space and reversed out of Jess's life, she rekindled her love with Chad, who I've met, lovely young man. Can't believe it's lasted this long. But terrible, terrible breakups. Why do these people, why do people today, God, I sound old, don't I? But why do people this day, why do they have to make it public? Why can't you just quietly and in a dignified manner go your separate ways? You see, this is social media, because everybody wants to be a star. It's all about, look at me, look at me. Influencers. You'd never heard of it before. We have social media influencers now. Look at me. So you can't just break up with somebody. You've got to let the world know about it. And more than that, you've got to let the world know that you had the upper hand. Dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. 133353. Rod's online. G'day, Rod.
Yeah, how you going, Luke?
Yeah, good, Rod.
Yeah, listen, mate, I'm traffic control at the moment. We're in between the M2 and Carlingford Road, on the Penrith Hills Road, mate. I just want to give a word out to the truckies. Can they please slow down, mate?
We get so many traffic controllers saying this, mate. Take us through it. What are they doing?
Oh, mate, we've got them there coming down to 40, mate. Now, I'm in a truck. I'm in a 2MA. And they're shaking me, mate. And they're supposed to be doing 40.
Tell us exactly where you are.
I'm in between the M2 on Pennant Hills Road, just after the M2, in between M2 and Carlingford.
Does this happen?
On the Pennant Hills Road.
I know exactly where you are. This is for our listeners in Sydney and truckies who are approaching this. Tell me, does this happen every morning?
Yeah, mate, all the time.
Do they need to put in mobile speed cameras at these places, do you reckon?
Yeah, but still, mate, as soon as they see the... they slow down, as soon as they get past the cameras, mate, they speed back up again.
Yeah, all right. The plea is, please slow down Pennant Hills Road between the M2 and Carlingford. Good on you, Rod.
Yeah, no worries, mate. We've got about 10 blokes on the road, mate, you know, and it's just getting a bit too dangerous.
I understand, mate. Well, you've said it. Let's see if it has any effect. Ring me back in an hour and tell me if we've had any effect.
Okay, mate, thanks. Appreciate it, Luke.
No, no worries, mate. That's what we're here for.
Love your show, mate, I love the pollen.
You love the what?
The pollen.
Oh, are you on the pollen?
Yeah, mate, yeah. I've been on it for about 4 weeks.
What's it done for you?
Mate, when I go home now, it's easier to sleep. And I get up in the morning, it feels like I've had about a 10-hour sleep, and I only get about 4.
What put you onto the pollen? Why did you start taking it?
I've just heard from everyone on your show. So I thought I'd give it a go.
Did you feel as though you needed more energy?
Yeah.
Has it given you that energy?
Yeah.
It's unreal, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
It's unreal.
What I'm going to do next, I'm going to try that man shake because I'm starting to put a bit of weight on.
Well, look, you see, they're two great products that I endorse on this program because they both work and they're both good for you. So manshake.com.au. That's it, manshake.com.au. Go to the website and have a look, have a read, and you can order online. And how much pollen have you got?
I've got 3 months.
Okay, let me know when you're getting
and
close.
And the soap.
Oh, you got the deal. Was it $65, three months and the soap?
Yeah, mate, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'm so glad. After how long have you been taking it?
About 4 weeks now.
Yeah, and you see the difference already.
Yeah.
I'm really pleased. Good on you, Rod.
Not a problem. All right. Love your show, Luke.
Thank you, mate. I'll let you get back to work and concentrate. Please, please slow down when you're heading towards roadworks. These traffic controllers, their lives are important too. So there's Rod. Please slow down on the Pennant Hills Road between the M2 and Carlingford for those drivers in Sydney approaching that intersection. And he loves his power pollen. So what we're saying is give it a go. Give the man shake a go too. Power pollen. So what did Rod say? He got the 200 capsules for $65, 3 months supply, and he got the soap. I should have asked him what he thought of the soap. The soap is unbelievable. It's pollen and manuka honey soap. Anyway, that's on offer with this special deal. So why don't you have that extra energy, get that better night's sleep, and feel better? Powerpollen.com.au. It comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Quick break, be back. The Night Shift on Triple M. Scooter Bob's back. G'day, buddy.
Boogie.
Scooty.
I've got a progress report.
A progress report on what?
On the power pollen.
Oh.
And Cookie's going to love you for all this airtime.
Well, look, the thing is, I've known Cookie for 21 years this year. And I started taking the power pollen in the year 2000. And I just couldn't believe the energy it gave me. And I was working 7 days a week and doing incredible hours, and I needed help, and it was just amazing. And so I endorse it because it works and it's completely natural, and you get a money back guarantee. Now, if it didn't do all that, I wouldn't do the ads. It's as simple as that.
Well, I'll tell you how I started. Right, first off, when I got it, I thought, righto, what I'll do is I'll take a couple at night and try them out. Now, I was losing me energy about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'd have to have a poppy flop. Yeah. So I thought, righto, what I'll do is when I have brekkie of a morning, I have a couple of bits of toast and Vegemite and a cup of tea, so
yeah,
I'll have them then.
Yeah.
Made a hell of a difference. I can go all day now, no poppy flop, and I'm giggling.
A poppy flop. Yes, yeah. We all love
nannies have nanny naps and poppies have poppy flop.
A poppy flop. It gets rid of the, I tell you what, Nature Bee gets rid of the poppy flop too. But anyway, that's something else I'm hearing from people. But Scooter, I'm so pleased. Now, how long have you been on it?
2 weeks.
After only 2 weeks, you've noticed this difference.
Yeah, I do. I'm like Softy. I don't tell lies either.
Yeah, honest truth.
Yeah, honest engine.
The honest truth.
Now what we've got to do is a couple of girls have already asked me about this. We've got to prove choppy right.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a problem.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, Choppy reckons it does well in the bedroom too.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, I haven't got to that bit yet, but I've got a couple of girls who want to check out.
Scooter, Bob. Scooter, Bob. Choppy reckons it does work. That's where it gets rid of the poppy flop. It got rid of the choppy flop.
Well,
it got rid of the choppy flop. But look, the main thing is it's completely natural. And I'll let you go now because, you know, it will bore people. But look, powerpollen.com.au, folks. It is unbelievable. Scooter, I'm so pleased that you feel better.
Thanks, pal. All right. Good. I'll talk to you soon.
We got the man cave tomorrow.
Oh, I haven't. Right, eh?
We got the man cave tomorrow. Give us a ring tomorrow.
Right, mate.
Okay. God, I love that bloke. He's lovely. He's confined to a motorized scooter. And what he does is he works tirelessly for everybody else. He once actually moved home and thousands of kilometres to be with an old mate that was doing it tough. He moved in with him to help him out. But he makes these little tin can, beer can outdoor dunnies. They're brilliant. And he makes them and he gives them to people for charity. And he's a lovely, lovely bloke. Scooter Bob. There we go. The power pollen's working for Scoot. A couple of lines have just opened up. 133353 is the telephone number if you want to get through. You can get through right now. Jess is ready to take your call. Now, the Clipsal 500 has been cancelled in Adelaide, but they're racing in Bathurst this weekend. Our correspondent is Chris. He's at the top of the mountain. It's a very different top of the mountain this weekend to previous Bathursts in October because of COVID, Chris. Good morning.
G'day, mate. How are you going? You're not wrong about that. We've had maybe 20 to 25 more campers roll in today. It is still very barren on top of this hill.
And it'll be cold too. It's the last weekend of summer.
That's true, yeah. But with the way the seasons have sort of bumped up now over the years, like my theory is we were getting 30-degree days down in Melbourne in April last year. So the seasons are bumped up. We're still getting cold days through half of December. So, yeah, but my theory is the seasons are bumped up by about a month, month and a half each.
All right. So, big changes this year at Bathurst. Bathurst is kicking off the supercar season this weekend. And that's thanks to Adelaide and the South Australian government saying goodbye to the Clipsal 500. So it's 500 kilometres. It's two races over 2 days.
That's correct.
Yep, tell us about it.
Okay, yep. So Saturday race, 250Ks towards 3 o'clock in the afternoon and rinse and repeat for Sunday with quite a number of filler categories as well. Well, I think there's about 10 different categories to fill, including the Touring Car Masters with all the old units running around and some of the name game drivers from years gone by. And yeah, it's looking like they've actually put a lot of thought into this, and really try to make it COVID compliant, as we've seen with no checks that have been coming around the mountains, making sure we're not on the vacant sites that are supposed to be left for the segregation between campers. So no, it's running all right so far.
It sounds very quiet, but mind you, it's Thursday morning. You would hope that things might pick up a little bit over the weekend. How much are tickets? Have they reduced the price? Because they're going to need something to get people up there.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong, because over the back right, we're on the front road on top of the mountain, basically what they call Metal Grate through Reed Solomon. The next block over, like the next road over from us, there is not one campsite that we can see on the map that has been sold, which is just unheard of. But as far as campsites, 256 for a site.
How much? And 256, yeah.
Yep, and $99 for the entry ticket for the whole weekend for the 3 days.
Do they still have restrictions on what grog you can take up there?
Still one slab a day, yep.
And they still have the security out and all that?
They absolutely do. Checkpoint Charlie and the road to Dushan Bay is very much active.
Okay, now, it's going to be a little bit sad this weekend. The three-time reigning champion is Scott McLaughlin. He won't be there to defend his crown. He's moved on to IndyCar.
He has, yes. And Penske's basically gone with him as well. So DJR, Dick Johnson, sort of back to their older outfit. They've kept a number of the staff from previous season that Penske did supply or bought over and, you know, employed. So be interesting to see how they go. And yeah, now I think Scotty's taken off. We've got two new drivers there, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
Will Davison.
Will Davison's been given given a drive back after the unfortunateness of Team Sydney folding last year in May and him being kicked off his drive. Yeah.
And Anton Di Pasquale.
Yes, who has come from Erebus. And now Erebus has completely shifted up with Will Brown and Brody Kostecki. And as we've been led to believe at 6 a.m. this morning, they will be unveiling Will's car for the season.
Jamie Wincup, it's his final season. I think he's moving into management next year.
He has, yes. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one to see how he goes. And I reckon he's just... The pressure's probably going to be a bit off, I reckon, for him this year compared to others, because I reckon he'll just enjoy this year as much as he possibly can.
I noticed that Newcastle is also not featuring on this year's calendar. When do you think everything will get back to normal? So you've got the Bathurst 500 this weekend. And then for other motorsport fans, I think you've got the Melbourne Formula One Grand Prix. That still goes ahead in March.
Wrong this year.
It's not this year.
It's been knocked on the head with COVID. It has been slated for a November date some point. And to make up for the fact we're losing that, Sandown has been added back to the calendar and we're doing a sprint race there.
Okay. And then October 7 to 10, the Bathurst 1000 back at Mount Panorama. Well, when do you think things will get back to normal, whatever normal is?
Oh, once quite a number of us have had a shot in the arm, I'd say.
Yeah. All right. So how does it work? I know that you've got practice tomorrow. Saturday is the qualifying race. You still have the top 10 shootout, don't you?
I think they're carrying on with this this season as well. They actually did that for just about every round last year. So it'll just be the normal sort of setup with, you know, the 10 or 20 minute qualifying session to basically decide the grid.
Yeah, so they have a top 10 shootout on the Saturday, but they also have a top 10 shootout on Sunday morning.
Yes, yeah, but I think they're following the same format as last year.
Yeah, and the racing goes from 3 in the afternoon to 4:50.
Yes, yeah, and we're wondering, because Bathurst has never been time certain, so we're wondering if they're going to make it time certain, being it's not the usual 1,000.
Yeah, I don't know. You'll find out all about it. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have fun. I don't think you're going to have as much fun as you normally have.
Well, yeah, considering security rolled around, it was about 11 o'clock and said, look, it's getting close to 11 o'clock, fellas, now. We're asking everyone to be quiet, turn your generators off.
Oh, really?
Yep, basically go to bed.
Really? It's like a dormitory at boarding school.
Drink your slushies.
You're kidding. They came around and told you to shut everything down and go to bed.
Pretty much, yep. Dead just before 11 o'clock, he came around. And the irony of it is he's running around with the noisiest vehicle on the mountain at the moment that's got one hell of a diesel smell coming out of it. This thing smells like it's about to fall apart.
Holy dooly. The security guard at the top of Mount Panorama on the Thursday before racing, and the security guard comes around and says, lights out, gentlemen, please. It sounds like my dormitory master at boarding school.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't dare try that at the 1,000 because there'd be that many people ready to lynch them.
Wow, things have changed. All right, Chris, have fun, mate. Talk tomorrow.
Shall do.
Okay, I want to hear some more stories. Gee whiz. Times have changed. 133353 is the phone number. Now, there are some lines available. Some people have just dropped out. They couldn't wait on or their phones died. If you want to join in any of the conversation, you can do it right now. This is your cue to call. The Night Shift on Triple M.